Today's Shir's Masechta, Baba Kama, Daf Tezayin. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Tezvov Amid Beis at the Mishnah towards the bottom. It says the Mishnah, Chamisha Tamim. There are five situations where the animal does damage in a way that's not usual that an animal behaves that way. And therefore, since that is unusual, that type of hezek falls into the category of Karen. And the halacha by Karen is that an animal that's a tam, hasn't done damage three times. The halacha is that such an animal pays chatzin, that you pay chatzin nezek for the damage it's done. And when the animal has done damage after the third time, you pay nezek shalim. And then, says the Mishnah, v'chemisha mu'adim. And then there are five cases of a mu'ad, that an animal pays nezek shalim. There is no difference between a tam and a mu'ad. The Mefarshim point out that the point of our Mishnah is to, what is the Mishnah trying to teach us? One shot that the Mefarshim suggests is that the Mishnah is coming to teach us the halacha of tzroiris, that even though tzroiris, animal walking, causing damage, is actually quite common. The halacha is, as we're going to learn, there's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai that you only pay chatzi nezek. Or the other point that the Mishnah is trying to make is that as we started the Masechta, two of the other mazikim are Eish u'bar, and the Mishnah is trying to teach us that by Eish and bar, there is no such concept of tam u'mu'ud. Says the Mishnah, Hema enema edes, an animal does not normally use its horns, ligach, to gore somebody, ligoif, to push somebody, something or somebody else with its body, v'loi loshuch, not to bite, v'loi libretz, not to lay down, squat on kalim, and by squatting on them, breaking them, v'loi libayt, to, and not to kick with the intent to do damage. Hashein, mu'edes lachas aroiloi, the shein, the definition of shein, is that it does, that it eats what is normal for an animal to eat. Haregel, and the definition of regel is mudel ishbar, that it breaks things b'dar chilucha as it walks. V'shar hamud. Shar hamud is, as we said, that it did keren, but once it did keren three times, the halacha is that it becomes chayv and nezek shalem. V'shar hamazik b'rishos hanezek. If an animal does damage in the property of the nizik, even if it did damage, posh pshat in the Mishnah, even if it did damage in a way that it normally does not do damage, but since it went into the Mishnah, it went into the nizik's property without permission, so he's always going to be paying full damage. And the last case is Adam, a person who does damage. Of course, there's the concept of Adam Mu'ad Lo'ilam, a person who does damage always pays nezek shalom. Hazev, a wolf, hari, a lion, hadoiv, a bear, nemavar, badalus, also different types of wild animals, varnochosh, and a snake, harei elu ma'adim, they're always considered a mu'ud. And the distinction that we have been speaking about by a tam and a mu'ud doesn't apply to these animals. However, says Rabbi Lozer, when these animals have been domesticated, then they're not considered a mu'ud, and therefore, in such a situation, we will again have the difference that we keep on discussing between tam and mu'ud. But, says the Gemara, even Rabbi Lozer agrees that a nochesh, that a snake, mu'ud la'olam. There's no such a thing, says the Gemara, says Rabbi Lozer, at the Mishnah, that there is no, that there's a domesticated snake. Says the Gemara, the fact that the Mishnah says that the Shein pays Nezek Shalim, says the Gemara, we're speaking about that he went into the property of the Nezek, because the Tarak Doisha, a pasuk that we've often quoted, says that the Halacha of Shein is ubier b'stei acher, when it walks into the property of somebody else and eats in that property. But if it's not in somebody else's property, then there is no problem of shame. B'chlal, so obviously, says the Gemara, our Mishnah, b'chatzar ha-nizik askin, is speaking about where this animal went into the property belonging to the nizik. V'ktani, behema ena medis l'shalim kulei, the Mishnah says that a tam doesn't pay nizik shalim, avachatzi nizik m'shalim, so pays chatzi nizik. So our Mishnah is, the Gemara says, it makes sense that our Mishnah is speaking about the same case. And our Mishnah is saying that we're speaking about the chatzar nizik, whose opinion is that even if the animal did keren, but it did it even in the property of the nizik, you pay only chatzi nizik. Mani, whose opinion does that represent? Says the Gemara represents the opinion of Rabbanan. The Rabbanan's opinion is the mishuna keren b'chatzar nizik, that since keren is, as we've been learning, is not the normal way that an animal does damage. Since it's not the normal way that an animal does damage, therefore, even if it did that damage in the chatzar nizik, chatzi nizik hu d'mishalim. Continues the Gemara. Eima seifa. Let's continue further in our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, shar mu'ud v'shar hamazik v'rishus ha-nizik v'adam. And the Mishnah is speaking about that the shar ha-nizik, that the shar ha-mazik, in Rishus HaNizik, since it's in Rishus HaNizik where this animal had no right to be, so the Mishnah said that's considered a situation of Mu'ud. And what the Mishnah meant to say was that since it's a situation of Mu'ud, you pay Nezik Shalim. Whose opinion is that? Asan Rav Tarfin. That represents the opinion of Rav Tarfin. Dama Mishuna Keren, that says that Keren, even though Keren, there's a difference between a tam and a mu'ud, and a tam pays chatzi nezik, and a mu'ud pays nezik shalim. That's only in Rishus HaRabim. But b'chatzar nezik, nezik shalim hu d'mishalim. So the second part of the Mishnah seems to indicate that you'll pay, that by keren Rishus HaNizik, you pay nezik shalim. So ask the Gemara, we have here a very interesting situation. We're explaining that the ratio of the Mishnah is following the opinion of the Rabbanon, and the Sefer of the Mishnah is following the opinion of Rav Tarfin. Says the Gemara, there's no other way of explaining, and as we've learned previously, Amle Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel said Rabbi Yehuda, Shinana, the Aruch says means that he was very sharp, he was a bright Talmud Chacham. The other Pshat is that he had sharp teeth, Shvoik, Masnisan. Even though normally we try to explain a Mishnah that it should be consistent according to one Tana, we have no choice. Shvoik, Misnisen, Betar, Basroi, and follow my explanation. And my explanation is Reisha Rabbanim, the Sefer of Tarfin. We're going to have to explain that the Reisha represents the opinion of Rabbanim, the Sefer represents the opinion of Tarfin. However, says the Gemara, Rav Mishmei, the Rav Amar, we have a way of explaining that the entire Mishnah should be representing the opinion of Tarfin. Reisha, that the Reisha that we're saying that Shein and Regel pays Nezik Sholem and you only pay Chatzin Nezik is not speaking about a full-fledged Chatzor HaNizik. In a full-fledged Chatzor HaNizik, where the Mazik's animal has no right to enter, so there indeed the halacha will be that you'll pay, Reb Tarfin says, Nezik Sholem. Here, it's a chatzar mi'chadus le'peiris le'chemhem. It's a chatzar that both the mazik and the nizik. The chatzar mi'chadus le'peiris le'chem, the nizik is the only one that could bring in his peiris. And as the Rishonim point out, it doesn't necessarily mean peiris. It means anything that belongs to him. But the mazik and nizik both have a right to bring their animal in there. Delgab shein, as far as the shein is concerned, eating, have a chatzar nizik, because the mazik had no right to bring his fruit there. Well, gaba keren, but as far as keren is concerned, it's treated like a shus harabim, and therefore, even Rav Tarfin will agree that you only pay chatzi nizik. Whereas the end of the Mishnah is chatzar nizik, is a property that belongs completely to the nizik, and the mazik has no right to bring anything there. Amar Rav Kahana, Amrit l'shmatzu kamedur azvin ma'ador, v'amali mi matzus mukos kulik Rav Tarfin, How could you say that our time Mishnah represents the opinion of Tarfin? Haktani Hashen Ma'edas Lachas Aroyloi. When are you responsible for the mazik Hashem? When the animal ate something which it normally eats. What do we learn from here? Roiloi in, if it ate something which it normally eats, that's when it's a mood. Ain Roiloi, but if it ate something which it normally doesn't eat, loy. But ask the Gemara, Ir of Tarfin, if we're going to suggest that the Mishnah is representing the opinion of Tarfin, Homer, Reb Tarfin says, Mishuna Karen B'chatzah Nezik, all, anything that happened in the Chatzah Nezik, Nezik Shalom Shalom. You pay Nezik Shalom, even if it's Mishuna, even if it's not usual. So how can we say that, how could our Mishnah represent the opinion of Tarfin, according to Tarfin, if it's in B'chatzah and Nezik, even Beshein, that ate something which the animal normally doesn't eat. And again, the point being, if it's not something that the animal normally eats, it's not Mishunah, and the halacha should be that you should have to pay Nezek Shalom if we want to follow the opinion of Tarfin. Ela Lailan Rabbanan, he says tomorrow we're going to have to learn that the entire Mishnah represents the opinion of the Rabbanan. And Keren, Bechotzer Anizik, even though it's Bechotzer Anizik, but since Keren is unusual, you're going to pay Chatzi Nezek. Just the way we have to learn the Mishnah. Chamishim tam heim. There are five situations of tam. V'mhuada, and if the animal did this three times, chamosh the mu'adim, then the animal becomes a mu'ad. Shein v'regel, when we speak about the mazik of shein v'regel, mu'adim b'tchiloson, they're considered a mu'ad from the beginning. Ve'eche hadason, where can they become where could the animal do shein v'regel? B'chatzer anizik. But in the Shus HaRabim, there is no shein v'regel. As we learn, the Pasuk says, will be a b'stei acher, that shein v'regel only apply b'chatzer anizik. And the reason they don't apply in the Shus HaRabim, because the animal has every right to be walking in the Shus HaRabim. And since the animal has every right to be walking in the Shus HaRabim, that's why it wouldn't be considered shein v'regel. Maskula Ravina, ask Ravina on this, Haktani l'kamon, we're going to learn in a Mishnah on Daf Chof Dalet Amud Beis, Shara Mazik B'Rishus HaNizik Ketzad. The Mishnah over there comes to teach us the Machlokes of Tarfin and Chachamim regarding Tam in the Chatzah Nizik. And the word Ketzad seems to indicate that we're coming to explain a halacha that was mentioned earlier. Points out the Gemara, if we're going to say that the Mishnah, when it said Shar Hamazik B'Shus HaNizik, was talking about Keren B'Chotzer HaNizik, so we can understand how the Mishnah Daf Chaf Dalet picks up on the case that we learned in our Mishnah. Mishmachi Tani Ketzad, it now comes to explain what's going to be the halacha by Keren B'Chotzer HaNizik. As we say, the Machlokes of Tarfin says you pay Nezik Sholem, the Rabbanan say you pay Chatzin Nezik. Eli Amrit Lo Yairba, but if we're going to say that our Mishnah never spoke about that case, my Ketzad, how does the word Ketzad, which seems to indicate we're picking up on where we left off, can be explained? This is where we have to understand our Mishnah. Chamisha Tamim, the five situations of Tam. V'mhadan, and if they do this more than three times, then they become a Mu'ad. V'shem Rego, Mu'adim B'tchoasam. There's no difference between Tam and Mu'ad. Zeh Shara Mu'ad, and continues the Mishnah, when we speak about the animals that were originally a Tam became a Mu'ad, Zeh Shara Mu'ad, that's the case of Shara Mu'ad that's discussed in the Torah. The Shara Mazik, B'Shus HaNizik, and when the Shara does Keren B'Shus HaNizik, we have a Machlokes of Tarfin Rabbanan, which is going to be detailed on Daf Chof Dalet. And then the Mishnah continues to teach us, V'yesh Ma'adim Acherim, there are other situations that animals consider Mu'ad, Hazeh V'Ari V'Doiv V'Abadlus V'Nomer Nafish. So what makes this teretz better is because we introduced the subject that Rav Taf and Rabbana are speaking about later, and therefore we could understand the word Ketzad. Tanya Nami Hochi says the Gemara, the Brisa says the same as the way Ravina says, our Mishnah says, Chamisha Tam Heim, V'Mahadam Chamishta Mu'adam, V'Shein V'Regel Mu'adam B'Tchilosoi, Zeh Shar Hamud, that the Torah discusses. Shara Mazik B'Shus HaNizik, Karen. Is Karen b'shus ha-nizik, says the Braisa, is the subject of a machloikus or ptah from Rabbanon. The yesh mu'ad ma'cherim ki yotzim behem. And there are other animals that are treated like shein v'regel, that they're always a mu'ad. There's no difference between tam and mu'ad. Hazev ha'ariv ha'doi v'nev v'arzo ha'nochesh. But then, says the Gemara, a different version of this discussion, and it was not just said as an explanation of a Mishnah, or not just said as an independent braisa, but was really said in a question-answer form. Ikka d'ramalei mirma, there are those that ask the following question. Ah, Mishnah said, Tanan, chamishatam, chamishim mu'adim. Ask the Gemara of Suleka, are there no other mu'adim? How did Mishnah use the word chamisha that indicates that these are only cases? Vika zev ari adoy v'anem v'abadus v'nachish. Mishani, to which Ravina answered, the way to understand the Mishnah is Chasuri Mechsev Achitani, Chamisha Tamheim, V'madu Chamishta Ma'adin, V'shem V'regel Ma'adin Metrulason. There's no difference between Tam and Mood by Shein and Regel. V'zeh Shara Mood. That's a Shara Mood. The Shara Mazbushus. That's the classical example of a Shara Mood that you always pay Nezik Shalim. And then there's Shara Mazbushus on Nezik, which is Karen Bushus on Nezik, which is a machloikus of taf rabbanon, v'yesh bo adam machem ki yotz behen, v'azev ariv ad never abadus v'nochesh. So now we're saying that when the Mishnah said chamisha mo'adim, that doesn't mean that there are only five mo'adim, because the Mishnah itself indicates that there are more than five mo'adim. What the Mishnah means to say with this statement is that there are five animals, with their five situations, where there's going to be a difference between tam and mu'ad. But in the other cases, there is no difference between tam and mu'ad, because in these other cases, the zavari, etc., there are mu'ad mitchiloson. What is meant when we say that they're mu'ad mitchiloson? What it means to say is that the animal is always going to be chayiv nezek shalim. There's no difference between, because that's the way that they behave, as we're going to speak. So we said in the Mishnah, v'loy libetz, that an animal doesn't normally sit on kalim and break them. Says the Gemara, Amar b'lozer loy shana el pachim gedoylim. An animal doesn't normally sit on these large vessels, and if it did so, it's considered mishuna. It's not considered normal. Av pach tanim, if it sat on small vessels, urchehu, that's considered normal. And since it's considered normal, it's going to be chay. So as we keep on explaining, the defining characteristic of Karen is mishuna, that it's unusual. But if it's usual, then it can't be Karen, and then you'll pay nezek shalim immediately, just like by shein and regel. On the other hand, since it's not considered Karen, it's Shein Varego. Shein Varego is only Chayiv in the Rishus HaNizik, not in the Rishus HaRabim. Says the Marlema Messiah, let's back this up, because we learned in the Braisa, HaMe'em Edz Lal Kedak L'Shaber, the animal normally walks and breaks Kalim as it's walking, L'mach Es Odom Es Behemus Kalim, and it kicks people, animals, and kalim. Isn't this different than what we learned in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that the animal does not normally do revitza shvira. How do we have to reconcile? On small kalim, that's normal. And our Mishnah is speaking about big kalim, which is not normal. Says the Gemara, that doesn't necessarily have to be the way to reconcile. Dilma, the Brice is speaking about minatzad, that the animal was walking near the wall, And therefore, in such a case, since it's walking on the wall, it normally will bang against the wall. But to kick something, it doesn't make a difference if it's a big keli or a small keli. Ikad amr, but there's a different version to this discussion. Amr b'loz, loy teima pachim g'doylim hu d'lav arukhei. When an animal does damage to a large vessel, we consider it mishuna, we consider it unusual. Av pachim k'tanim arukhei hu, that will say is usual. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, the Brisa says, the Lamalchus, Odomus, Behemus, Kalim, is normal for an animal. So if we say that it's normal by small Kalim, so then we have a way of reconciling the Brisa. But if it's not, if we're going to say that whatever it make, whatever type of keli it is, big or small, how are you going to reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa? That's what is usual. Again, some ask this as a back and forth of the question. Tanan Am Mishnah says, V'loy libret, an animal is not amur to do revitza. But Tanyal Malchus, Odomus, Behemus, Akelim, that it means animal does do revitza. It says the Gemara, like Amr Rabbeinu, to which Rabbeinu says, like Kasha, kampach pach and gedolim, large vessels is unusual, kampach tanim is usual. We learned in the Mishnah further, all these other types of animals are mu'adim. Hazavari. And the Mishnah, one of the animals that was mentioned by a Mishnah was the bardless. Ask them about my bardless, exactly what is the bardless? Amr of Yehuda, nafraza. Ask the Gemara, and now that you said, a fraza, what is a nafraza? My nafraza, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, apa. In Yeshiva, they used to say that a bardless is a weasel. Rameya, Meser, Rameyam, Afa Tzavua, Rebeloza, Imer, Afa Nachish, Vam Rabbi Yosef, Tzavuza, apa. So if Rameya is coming to add to the Mishnah, saying something, another animal, if we're saying that apa was already mentioned in our Mishnah by Bardalus, so he's not adding something in. Says the Gemara, yes, he is adding. Because there are two types of apas. Loi kasha. Ha b'tzvu zachar. One is a male. Kam b'nekeva, one is a female. The Tanya, tzvu zachar. Lachashay shonim. After 7 years, it becomes an atleif. Afev, after shevashonim, nasa arpad. Arpad lachar. Shevashonim nasa kimosh, kimosh lacha shevashonim nasa hoich, hoich lacha shevashonim nasa shed. So it's really the animal evolves. It says the Gemara Shidra Shaladam, the backbone, the spine of a person, lacha shevashonim, after 7 years, nasa nochish, it becomes a snake. It says the Gemara, when? Hanimili. Like carbon moidim. If somebody didn't bow by moidim, the halacha is that that's what's going to happen. So Tosfos explains, what is the fact that somebody said doesn't bow by moidim have to make that his back should become like a snake, his spine should become like a snake? So somebody says that the Gemara says that the halacha is mitzvah lichroya, the parts of davening where we have to bow down, the kizokiv, but when one gets up, Zokiv kechivya, he has to pick himself up like a snake goes up. So this person, since he didn't bow by moidim and get up like he's supposed to, so he didn't do what a snake is like a snake, so he will become a snake. And I saw that the Rishonim explain, we know that moidim is right next to Ritzei. What does Ritzei represent? Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept our kabbonis. Kabbonis represent that we believe in Mashiach, we believe in Tchias HaMesim, and that's when we'll be able to bring the kabbonis. Somebody who doesn't bow down properly, so he shows, why does he bow down properly? He doesn't believe in Mashiach. He doesn't believe in Ritzei. He doesn't believe we're going to have to get up to Tchias HaMesim like Mashiach. And the difference between a shed, which the Gemara just said it ultimately discussed, and the person, is a shed doesn't have Tchias HaMesim. So a person who doesn't bow down and doesn't believe in Tchias HaMesim, won't have Tchias HaMesim, like just the shed who don't have Tchias HaMesim. Another pshat is that the Maral explains, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, the human being is the glory of all man, of all things living, and living people. And the snake is the king, was the king of all animals. When a person and therefore the snake went the kaimis kufa, it was stood on legs. When it did the terrible avera, So we said, the Torah says that it was diminished. It lost its leg. A person who doesn't act like he's supposed to act, like the person is supposed to be, will end up looking like a snake. Daniel Yo explains that the Pasuk says that what did the Nochosh say to Chava? The Yisa Kelakim Yodeya Toivara. That the Nochosh said to Chava that you will be like God that knows everything. And when a person acts and refuses to bow down by Moedim, what's he saying by not bowing down by Moedim? He's saying that he's not ready to be subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And since he's saying that he's not ready to be subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he's doing the same as the Nochosh, who wasn't ready to be subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're not ready to be subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you are like a Nochosh. Another pshat that I saw is that the Gemara Masechta Bechoris says that in every one of us, in our spine, there's a luz. The luz is a bone that doesn't deteriorate. And amidst Hashem, b'mehir b'yameinu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make Tchias HaMesim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make Tchias HaMesim, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to create a situation that from that luz bone, we will all be able to regenerate. But the luz, but the person who doesn't act properly, he won't have Tchias HaMesim. Since he won't have Tchias HaMesim, so that's why his back will be like a snake. And the luz bone that we all have in our spine, for him, there won't be that luz bone because he's not going to have Tchias HaMesim. Another pshat that I saw is the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu eliminated the feet of the Nochosh is because it was a kafi toiv. It didn't recognize the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And somebody doesn't bow down by Moedim is also doesn't recognize the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If somebody doesn't recognize the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he deserves to end up looking like a like a Nochosh. Says the Gemara, Amamar, Ramea Omer, Afat Tzavua, that Tzavua is also considered a Muad Mitchilasai. Rav Elazar Omer, Afat Nachash, says the Gemara, Vanantanan, Amishnah, the fact, says the Gemara understands. Rav Elazar is saying, Af HaNochosh. What does he mean to say? That he's adding the Nochosh to all the other animals. That, or ask the Gemara, V'anan t'nai Rav Elazar b'zman shem v'tarbis, enem mu'adim, v'nochosh mu'ad lo'olam. So we see Rav Elazar holds that only the Nochosh is always a mu'ad. Not like it says here. T'ni, says the Gemara, Nochosh. That means Rav Elazar is disagreeing with the Tanakhama. And Rav Elazar, the Tanakhama holds that all these animals are muad mitchilasai. And Rav Elazar says only the Nochosh is muad mitchilasai. Am Shmuel, so what the Mishnah discusses when a lion does damage. Arib Rishus Rabim, a lion in Rishus Rabim. Doratz v'ochal, if it grabs its prey and eats it, potter. Taraf, if it grabs it and waits till it dies, v'ochal chayiv. And the Gemara explains, Doras v'ochal, if it grabs its prey and eats it, potter, kivin d'urchel midras, that's what it normally does, havalei k'moish ochel peiris yirokas. So that, since a lion, and the way I saw the Mefarshim explain, since the lion is so ferocious, and the lion is not scared of anything, it doesn't wait for its prey to die. Therefore, that's the normal way a lion eats. It devours its prey, even while it's still alive. So then, if the lion did this in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, so that's the normal way it behaves. And we've been learning that in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, if the animal did damage in the normal way it does damage, havelei k'may akol peiris yirokas, It's no different like eating Peir Sirakis. And since it's the way that he eats Peir Sirakis, Havle Shem Rishos Rabim Upatur. It's no different than an animal, than a shor eating Rishos Rabim. So I saw that the Yam Shoshloima asks the question, why is the halacha that Shem Rishos Rabim is Potter? Because it's normal for animals to walk in the Rishos Rabim, at least in their world. And since it's normal for animals to walk in Rishos Rabim and eat, so it's not unusual, and it's the Rishos Rabim, that's why you wouldn't be chayiv. But a lion doesn't usually walk in the Rishos Rabim. So if a lion doesn't walk in the Rishos Rabim, even if the lion ate its prey in the normal way that it does, it's not normal that it should be walking in the Rishos Rabim. So I saw the Chiddush of Ari Leib answers, one is, how do we understand the halacha that Shein V'Regel are Potem Rishos Rabim? So we've always understood the halacha of Shein V'Regel being Potem Rishos Rabim, as we just explained, because that's what's normal, that an animal walks in Rishos Rabim, and since that's what's normal for it to do, you wouldn't be chayiv. But actually, that isn't really the pshat. Another pshat that I saw is that there's a gzeres akosef. The Torah is teaching us that there's a gzeres akosef, that an animal, that there is no shein v'regel in the Rishos Rabim. If it's a gzeres akosef, that in the Rishos Rabim there's no shein v'regel, so it doesn't make a difference if the animal is a type of animal that is to be expected in the Rishos Rabim, ashor, or it's an animal that's not to be expected in the Rishos Rabim. Says Rabbi Ari Leib, there's a gzeres akosef, that in the Rishos Rabim there is no shein on any animal. However, Taraf, if the lion waited to rip its prey and only ate it then, lav urchehu, that is not usual. And since it's not usual, then the halacha will be that it's keren, and you'll have to pay by the first three times chatzi nezek, and afterwards nezek shalim. Says the Gemara, lememra, does that mean the treifa lav urchehu, that it's not usual for lion to rip its victim? V'ksiv, arye toirev kedei re'osav, the lion rips in order to be able to feed its children. Says the Gemara, b'shvil k'roisav, if it's taking for its children, then it's normal for it to rip its victim. But for itself, it doesn't. Says the Gemara, but the pasuk says, u'mechanik l'levosav, it rips for bringing for its children. So we see that the animal does normally kill first. Says the Gemara again, b'shvil l'levosav, only when it's doing it for its children. Says the Gemara, v'yamala taref chayrif, we see it fills up its hole where it keeps its food, the food that it ripped up. So again, isn't that a proof that the lion first rips what it eats? Again, says, if the animal is taking food to store, then it rips it. Otherwise, it doesn't. B'shvil chayrif. U'metemois of treifa, it says it fills where it leaves with food that it ripped up. Again, if it's tree, it's b'shvil ma'inosav. If it's taking food to store, then it rips. Ask the Gemara of Atanya, hasn't the Brisa teach us v'chein chai shnichlus l'kotzer ha'nizik, tarf v'behema v'ochla, if an animal enters the property of the nizik and it rips an animal and eats it, v'ochla basam sham nizik shalim. So we see, and the Brisa doesn't differentiate between different types of animals. Answers the Gemara, if ripped up, even if it's speaking about a lion, but we said that if a lion is ripping another of its victim to put it away for to store, then that's normal. That's the way we're going to understand this brisa. Says the Gemara, but that's not the word. That's not what the brisa says. The brisa says, tarfa behema va'ochla. Says the Gemara, ha'achlok tani. So it's not for storage that you're saying then what's done for storage, it's normal. And so the Gemara, shetarf shnem levachla. It originally ripped this victim, not to eat it, but to put it away. And we're saying when its goal is to put it away, then it is normal that it would rip. Here, it was originally meant to eat, originally meant to put it away. And since it was originally meant to put it away, that's normal. And then it changed its mind. So ask the Gemara the obvious question. Menoya Dinan, how would we know to say by an animal that it changed its mind? Void Shmuel Nami. When Shmuel said that an arinashus rabim that rips and eats pays chatzi nezek because it's unusual, the mahachihu. Maybe it was intention to eat right away. And if it was intention to eat right away, so then and changed its mind, so then it's not different. That's not mishuna. Amar Rav Nachman Tzadik Tadi. The way to understand the brayse is as follows: Tarfa, if the animal ripped laniach with the intention of putting away, oy dars of achwa, or it ripped without eating, without ripping the thing. In these cases, since this is normal, b'shalom es nezek sholim. But if it ripped the victim and ate right away, that is not normal, and you pay chatzin nezek. Ravina olam, no. Even a lion rips its victim and then eats. V'chi kama Shmuel, when did Shmuel say that is not what a lion does? Bari tarbus. A lion that was domesticated. And since the lion was domesticated, the lion said, Rabbi Elazar said that a lion, and our Mishnah Rabbi Elazar said, and we said it on top of this Amid as well, that a lion can be domesticated. Says the Mara, if we're speaking about a domesticated lion, the Rabbi Elazar holds that a lion can be domesticated, I feel that's a tsunami, so even if it just ripped it, it should be chayiv, because it's not, this is a domesticated lion. If it's a domesticated lion, it's not its style to destroy. Elder Ravina, says the Gemara, what Ravina said, like Rabbi Elazar lava Shmuel etma, wasn't referring to Shmuel ala masnisad. He was referring to the Braisa. The Braisa said that an animal ripped and then ate, you pay b'chatzah nazik mazik shalim, it's speaking about a retarbus, a domesticated lion, and it's going according to Rabbi Elazar that a lion can be domesticated, and if the lion was domesticated, it doesn't normally do damage, and therefore it can't be considered shame. Says the Mara, if that's the case, if we're paying because of Karen, so you should pay Chatzi Nezek. If it's not usual, says the Gemara, the Yad, that became a mood. And if it did it already three times, then you're going to pay Nezek Sholim. Ask the Gemara, why was this mentioned with Shane? If this is because it's unusual and it did it three times and therefore it's a tam of Karen that pays Nezek Sholei, Gabel told of the Karen by Lemisne. Should it include with all the told of Karen? Answer the Gemara, Kasha, that is indeed a question. Ask the Mishnah, Ma Ben Tam Lamud. What is the difference between a tam and a mu'ud? Says the Mishnah, tam shalom chatzi nezek migufoy. The tam pays chatzi nezek, and there's a cap that it's always paid from the animal itself. Mu'ud mishalom nezek shalom. The mu'ud pays nezek shalom, and it pays it min aliyah. That means if the animal that did the damage is not worth as much as the damage, then the mazik has to take out funds from his own pocket to pay that nezek shalom. My aliyah. And says the Gemara, why is the word aliyah meant? If we mean to take from his pocket, what does it mean, my aliyah? Amar b'loza b'mu'ulishim b'nechasev, he pays from his best assets. The Kedu Amar, the Pasuk says regarding Yechizkiyahu, v'yishkav Yechizkiyahu ma'voisev, v'yikvireyu b'ma'ala kivrei beis domid. V'amar b'loza b'ma'ala, what does it mean? Eitzel mu'ulim shemishpacha. He was buried with the most important people of his family. What does that mean? David Shloima. And as the Inyakov explains, normally a king was buried next to his father. But his father, Chizkiyahu's father, was Achaz. Achaz was a Rasha. And because Achaz was a Rasha, he wasn't buried together with the Tzadikim. So, but Chizkiyahu, because he was a Tzadik, was buried together with his forefathers, David Shlomo, they were tzaddikim and he was tzaddikim. V'kvaro b'kavosav, continues the Pasuk, regarding the burial of Osam Melech Yehuda. The Pasuk says, V'yikvaro b'kvarosav, ashikarlai b'ir David, v'yishkiviu b'mishkav, ashimile b'samim v'zunim, mai b'samim v'zunim, Rabbi Elazar Omer zinim zinim, different types of besamim. The Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani besamim shekol merech bem baladei zima, very very fragrant besamim. And the way that I saw the Maral explains the Gemara, the machlokes here is when we look at something, what do we prefer to, from what perspective do we prefer to look at it, from the quality or the quantity? Rabbi Elazar says zine zine. He looks at the quantity. There were different types of besamim, many different types, quantity. And Rabbi Shmuel is focused on the quality. The pasuk discusses that Yirmiyahu says that the people should be punished because they weren't listening when he gave them Musar. And the pasuk says, Kikar sochel lakteni upachem tamnu l'ragle. Instead of listening to me, they did all sorts of things to stumble me. Rabbi Elazar mechshechdu him azayna. They accused him. They had relations with azayna. Shlomo ben Nachmani ama shechdu meishasish, that they accused him. They had relations with meishasish. Says the Gemara, Bishlam lemanda mechshechdu mezayna. Hayne deksiv. The pasuk says by azayna similar words. Kisacha amuka zayna. Eleman dama shechdu meishasish. My shucha, what does the word shucha have to do with eishes ish? Ata ish ish, nafka v'klal zayna. If somebody has relations with an eishes ish, it's also considered like a zayna. Bishlama, l'man dam shechtu mish ish, haynik sevatem, shem yodat es kol atzosam, alay l'movis. Because the punishment for having relations with eishes ish is movis. Chayiv misa. Eleman dam shechtu mish zayna. Well, how does the word lamavas come in? It's a terrible aveira to have such relations, but there is no chiyuv misa. Answers the Gemara, what it meant the way it was, sheshluchu lebe'er tit. They threw him into a pit, hoping that he would die there. Darsh Rava, Maidiksev, what did Yirmiyahu ask for? V'yihu l'mechshon l'fenecha. Ba'as apecha asebem. Amr Yirmiyahu l'fenei Kodesh Baruch Hu. Amr Yirmiyahu l'fenei Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yirmiyahu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebani Shloilem. Afilu b'shoa sh'oisin stoka, what is the punishment that I wish for them? That even when they do tztoka, achshilom b'mnei odom she'enem uganim, make them give tztoka to people who don't deserve it, k'dei sh'lei kabaleim schar, that they won't get schar for giving tztoka to people who don't deserve it. So the question here is, if somebody gives tztoka to somebody who isn't deserving, what is the halacha? Is he gets stuck at somebody who's a rasha? Does he get schar or not? So the Paiskim discuss this question, and the Paiskim seem to make the following distinction. One is that if the person is a mumah lahachis, he's a rasha, not only is he a rasha, but he lahachis deliberately goes against the Torah, giving him tzedakah is not a mitzvah at all. Whereas if the person is a mumel teyavan, then the halacha is that it's not, the Ramah says that there's no mitzvah to give him tzedakah, but there's no aveira in giving him tzedakah. And of course the Paiskim also differentiate if you know or you don't, if you know that the person is not deserving, then you don't get schar for giving him tzedakah. If you don't know, then you did what you were supposed to do, then you will get tzedakah. So what would be the halacha if somebody gave tzedakah to somebody who wasn't deserving of it? He used his meiser to give tzedakah to somebody who wasn't deserving, and then he discovered that the person wasn't deserving. So the halacha is as follows. Of course, the first thing that should be done is try to get the money back. That means if somebody misled us and said, I'm coming to collect stock, I deserved stock. And then it turns out that it was all a fraud. The best thing is to try to get back the money. But if it was a situation, opinion shvuyim, someone was kidnapped, and he did have the financial means to get himself out, but he chose not to use his money, so the halacha is by pinyin shvuyim, because it's such an important mitzvah, the halacha is that it's still considered tztaka. But by other tztaka, it could well be that you would have to give tztaka again. There was a story with the Rebbe Reb Zisha, who was very poor, and somebody took it upon himself to support the Rebbe Reb Zisha. One time, this person who was supporting the Rebbe Reb Zisha asked Reb Zisha, "Who is your Rebbe? Who is you, the person that you go to?" So he says, "I go to the Mizritcha Maggid." So this person decided if the Mizritcha Maggid is the Rebbe Reb Zisha's Rebbe, and I'm been supporting the Rebbe Reb Zisha, and it's brought such success to my life, I certainly, if I support his Rebbe, I'll even be more successful. And he started giving money to the Mizritcha Maggid and stopped giving money to Reb Zisha. So, and then everything turned on him. And he said that, and he started not being successful. So he went to the Mizritcha Maggid and he said, "I don't understand. If you're Reb Zisha's Rebbe, and if I supported Reb Zisha, it brought such hatzlacha to me, shouldn't supporting you bring hatzlacha?" So he explained that you have to understand our Gemara. He says, and our Gemara says that Ribbono Shel Olam, Yirmiyahu said, "Afilu b'shoah she'osim tzedakah, even when they do tzedakah, hechshilu b'nei adam she'enem anhagim, kedei shelo yakabel schar." So we think of it as a curse, as we just discussed. Giving to tzedakah who don't deserve it is a curse. Just the opposite, he said. If we don't pay such close attention, anybody who asks us for tzedakah, we give tzedakah. So we're not particular, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't be so particular with us. But if we begin being so particular and only giving tzedakah to people who we think really deserve it, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to start being particular with us and start saying, "Well, I'm only going to help you if you think that you deserve it." And therefore, the halacha is that the Gemara is actually saying give tzedakah to everybody. But I did see that the Briska Rav was once taking a walk with the Charkova Rav, and a person walked by and he just stuck out his hand and he says, "Give me money." And the Charkova Rav gave him tzedakah, and the Briska Rav didn't give him tzedakah. And the Charkova Rav said, "How come you didn't give him tzedakah?" So he said that the Briska Rav said that the pasuk says in Mishlei, "Tachnunim yidabarosh." A person who's truly poor, tachnunim, speaks in a very modest fashion, asking, "I unfortunately need to be helped." Tachnunim yidabarosh. That's the way a poor person spoke. This person who spoke in such a fashion obviously is not a rosh, because were he a rosh, he wouldn't have spoken that way. And then he said, our Gemara said, that Yirmiyahu said, that giving to tzedakah, and as we discussed this a few moments ago, giving to tzedakah to somebody who doesn't deserve it, when you know he doesn't deserve it, is certainly not fulfillment of tzedakah. That's why the Briska Rav says, "I'm not supposed to give him tzedakah." Briska Rav says, that's what our Gemara taught us.